Well, it's the one for the money.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
Who was
your Elvis Presley?
The one and only Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley.
I'm Steve Coyne, and this is Elvis, the Making of a Legend. Throughout 1964 and 65, the British invasion had taken over the pop charts. The Rolling Stones, Herman's Hermits, even Petula Clark. The Beatles, doing the most damage to Elvis's numbers, wanted to meet their idol. So on August 27th, 1965, the four Liverpool lads made a visit for several hours to Elvis's California home.
They were in awe of him. He had been a tremendous influence on them, and their manager and his manager arranged a meeting, no footage shot. It was just a private visit. The Beatles came and hung out with Elvis and his guys. At first, everybody was quiet. The Beatles kind of didn't know what to say. They were so awestruck, and Elvis said, "Well, if everybody's just going to sit around, I'm going to bed." And that broke the ice, and they talked, and they jammed, and they shot pool, and had a nice visit.
Todd Morgan, director of media for Graceland. Elvis enjoyed his visit with the Beatles, but these times were not always fun times. Colonel's plan was still in place, and Elvis was trapped into a grueling schedule of 3 movies a year and 3 album projects. The scripts were getting worse. Elvis was retreating more and more into his fantasy world of prescription drugs, and the Colonel was noticing cracks in the mechanism. By late 1966, record sales and movie profits were diminishing. Parker felt that if the goose wasn't laying as many golden eggs, then he needed a bigger share of the eggs that were there. He sent a new contract to Elvis, which increased his already unheard of 25% commission to 50%. Plus, Elvis was responsible for all expenses. Elvis signed without hesitation. He felt the Colonel was the only one who could revive his career.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment.
That Elvis really longed for a whole more normal kind of existence a lot of the time, normal relationships with people, and wished maybe he could go to movie theaters and shopping centers and ball games like other people, but he couldn't do that.
I pray the Lord that I'll grow strong as I live. I searched, but I couldn't find no way to gain peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel, where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather in the chapel.
I think he was probably one of the loneliest, most insecure people I've ever met. I don't think he was insecure with his talent. I think that he thought his mother was the only person that ever really loved him, if he weren't Elvis Presley. And then when Priscilla came along, I think he thought that again.
Take your troubles to the chapel. Get down. Then your burdens will be light, and you'll surely find the way.
And you'll surely find the way.
Elvis and Crying in the Chapel, with comments from both Pat Boone and Brenda Lee. Sales and hit songs were down, and so was Elvis. The Colonel needed something to get his money train back on the track. The idea came to him when Sinatra married Mia Farrow in July of 1966. For the past 5 years, Elvis had a bizarre relationship with the underage Priscilla. The colonel completely planned a covert wedding in Las Vegas.
I got a call from Elvis, and I was on the air in a Memphis radio station. He said, George, I got something that I want to talk to you about. And I said, yeah, Elvis. And he said, I'm going to get married. And I said, oh, really? He said, I'd kind of seen it coming, so it wasn't a real total shock, but it was interesting. He said, but you can't say a word. I said, Elvis, I'm in radio and TV. I got the biggest story of the last 10 years, and I can't say a word. He said, no, you can't say a word.
Elvis's longtime friend, George Klein.
About, I guess, 3 in the morning, we slipped out of the back of Elvis's house in Palm Springs and climbed over a wall because the media had picked up on it. Rona Barrett, who actually broke the story, was snooping around him. We didn't want Rhonda to know what was going on, so we snuck out of Elvis's house out the back door. There was a limousine waiting there, and we sped off to the Palm Springs airport, jumped on a private plane. It was me and Elvis and Priscilla, and Joe Esposito was road manager, and his wife, Joni.
On May 1st, Nightclub at the Aladdin Hotel in Las Vegas.
Bright lights said it gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's 1,000 pretty women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care, and I am just a devil with love to spare. So Viva Las Vegas, Viva Las Vegas. How I wish that there were more than the 24 hours in the day. Even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute away. Oh, there's blackjack and poker and the roulette wheel. A fortune won and lost on every deal. All you need is a strong heart and a nerve of steel. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing and your one-armed bandits crashing and all those hopes down the drain. Viva Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same again. I'm gonna keep on the run, I'm gonna have me some fun. If it cost me my very last dime, if I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time. I'm gonna give it everything I've got. Lady luck, please let the dice stay hot. Let me shoot a seven with every shot. Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas! Viva! Viva Las Vegas!
On February 1st, 1968, exactly 9 months from the day they were married, Lisa Marie Presley was born.
It was an awesome marriage, you know. They were very together and very beautiful and very much in love, and then, of course, Lisa was born, and that just made the marriage even better.
Elvis was still floundering financially, even though the colonel's public relations machine was working. With his marriage to Priscilla and a new baby in Graceland, the colonel wanted to keep the publicity wheels turning. He came up with an idea for a TV Christmas special. He envisioned a collection of Christmas songs and a holiday album. NBC had hired a young director named Steve Binder, who realized that this was Elvis's moment of truth. After a decade of bad movies and little influence on the music charts, NBC director Steve Binder didn't want to wipe out Elvis's career with one low-budget Colonel Tom Parker-produced schlock TV special. The Colonel screamed and demanded control, but in the end, NBC won out. And on December 3rd, 1968, Elvis, the comeback special, aired.
Looking for trouble? You came to the right place. Looking for trouble? Just look right in my face. I was born standing up and talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed man, the judge because I'm evil.
Although Tom Parker tried to sabotage the show for petty personal reasons, he won no battle, and the show was touted as the finest music of Elvis's career. It was a complete comeback, without the help of Colonel Parker.
Welcome to NBC and the Elvis Presley Special.
Elvis is definitely the most exciting performer that's ever been. During the course of the TV special, we had one section where Elvis performed live in front of an audience in an arena. And he had the girls screaming and crying and everybody cheering for him just like he did in the old days. As part of this television special, we had a song written for Elvis, a song called If I Can Dream.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be birds flying higher in a sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land, where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why. That will blow away the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why.
This is Elvis, the making of a legend.